You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy.
Good Monday morning to you. Mike McMurrin for Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Probably like everybody else. Well, I don't know. Probably not like everybody else, but I don't sleep very well. And so I wake up. At different hours throughout the night, and for lack of anything better to do, check my phone, and I have an Associated Press application, and you get headlines like a lot of applications will send you. So, yeah, I've been watching the news out of Las Vegas, and wow. You know, what do you say? So we'll monitor the news this morning. A lot of lives changed. In fact, my oldest daughter was over last night. I made dinner for she and Colleen, and so she's planning a trip to Europe, and so she's talking about it. I can't remember how it came up, but the subject of terrorism came up. I said, And she looked at me, she goes, don't think I haven't thought of it either. And I said, well, you know, there's basic stuff. But, you know, you can't live your life. At the end of the day, you can't live your life afraid. You know, I guess you can and then not do anything, but it's a pretty... But, you know, we all know the luck of combat. In fact, who was I talking to on Saturday? Oh, I was talking to my son, Patrick. We were kind of chatting on, I don't know, Google Hangouts or something like that. I said, hey, what are you doing Sunday in Okinawa? And he said nothing. He said, I was bored, so I started watching Band of Brothers. I said, really? And... he said, yeah, yeah. And I said, which episode? He said, Crossroads. And I said, and that's, for those of you who, I think most everybody who listens to this has seen Band of Brothers, but it's where Dick Winters is still with Easy Company. And they infiltrate at night in proximity to these crossroads that has a heavy machine gun or something like that. And there's a company, a German company, near it. And they make this plan, and they're down in this ditch, hidden, and the plan is he's going to take off running. And if nobody sees him, they're to follow him at, like, when he gets to 40 yards. And he sprints, I don't know how far. I saw at one point the actual after-action report of it. But he sprints, I want to say it might be 100 meters across an open field. He comes up on this road, and not one German sees him. And he comes over, and in the show, is it in the series Band of Brothers? Now there's a young German boy, and Winter struggles with this afterwards. But you know, he looks like any kid who lived down the street, and I believe he's either buttoning his greatcoat or he's brushing his teeth or something, because he turns and he looks when he hears him. He turns and he looks and he sees him, and Winters, you know, kills him. And, you know, and then the rest of Easy Company comes piling in, and they fight. And I told Patrick, I said, if that's you or I, there's a sentry that we don't see that shoots us like 30 yards out of that ditch. I said, so there's an element to luck with all legends that, you know, that happens in life. And just as there is an element of luck, there's You know, there's an element of being in the wrong place at the wrong time and a randomness that goes with it. And I think one of the things that really screws with people a lot in their lives is they try to get an answer for the question, why? Why? Why me? Why him? Why did this happen? And the truth is there is no answer, and which is hard for people to accept. So I was thinking about that. You know, whether it's Catherine's trip to Europe, whether it's these people in Las Vegas, God bless them, who were introduced to something that they, you know, that nobody should ever have to see in their lives. And then just the whole senseless part of it. So, anyway, the president is supposed to speak in 23 minutes, so we'll get that. We'll carry that. We'll talk to Alex Hollings today. He from Soft Reports. We'll get his thoughts on this. And the question is, how do you stop stuff like this? You know, how does a guy get those kind of weapons up into a room? Is that kosher? How did he hide them? How did he do it? Is he on camera taking those? I guess he will be. There's cameras everywhere in Vegas. But we'll pay attention to it and bring news to you as it. And then what are the remedies? Are the remedies that you have to go through metal detectors every time you enter a hotel now? I would imagine in Vegas that's going to be one of the things that they look at, because you can't mess with tourist dollars in Las Vegas. So anyway, there was some other news and over the weekend, so we'll take a look at that as well. But on a sad day in our nation's history, the largest mass shooting ever. I mean, hard to believe. Like, what? Ever? But so good morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend in spite of this. And we'll endeavor to spend 3 quality hours with you today. The Gunner will join us today. I'm sure he'll have thoughts about it. And I don't know, just like everybody, a little bit speechless, shake your head. And pray for the people that pray for their strength, that they can make sense of it in some way, shape, or form, that they can, those wounded will recover. The families of those killed will find peace somehow in a event that, come on, you went to a concert, standing there having a great time, listening to music, and this nonsense? Come on. Anyway, all that part of our world this morning. Good morning to you. We'll be right back.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Sunny and 66 in Quantico. Sunny and 70 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny and 72 at the Gunner's House in Granbury. Montana Man reports cloudy and 40 in Montana. That's why we call him Montana Man. Sunny and 63 in 29 Palms. Cloudy and 61 at Camp Pendleton. Okinawa's cooled off about 8 degrees from the summer. It is dark, cloudy, and 80 in Okinawa right now. Baraka cooled off, 87 and sunny right now. Mars are about the same, clear, dark, 86 at the home of All Marine Radio. In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, perfect weather today. 62 degrees under partly cloudy skies, which happens near the coast, with a high of 74. Come on, man. So we'll take the president's comments. Alex Holland working on a little piece, obviously, as he probably should, relative to this for software up. He'll join us after that. So sit tight this morning on a bit of a dark Monday. But thanks for listening to All Marine Radio. And we'll talk to there's some kind of gun questions. We'll talk to Mike about the difficulty of evidently there's some discussion this morning that some of the rifles have been converted into automatic rifles, and there's speculation that somebody would have had to help him with that, and I believe we'll talk to Mike, but. Not that tough to do. I think we know that, but most civilians would not in terms of messing with the seer. So, and then as expected, video from everybody's cell phone relative to these shootings last night. So more of that coming up next here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. /7:21, President of the United States going to speak to the nation at 10:30. Here's an email. Mac, do you find your experience with death helps you relative to your kids and these kind of things when they come up? You know, sadly, yeah. You know, I think everybody who has dealt with death and thought about it a lot and has developed their own thoughts about it and, you know, the way they deal with it and the way they cope with it, you know, the randomness of it, which will mind screw a lot of people. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it certainly does help when you see one of your kids struggling with it. And Dad, I just don't understand why God would let this happen. God didn't let this happen. You know, he's not up there, you know. God didn't let Hitler happen. God loves you. God's there for you. But, you know, we're human beings. We're down here being human beings. And there's idiots among us. And this kind of stuff happens. And so if you look too hard for meaning in it, you know, you'll probably find the wrong meaning in it. I mean, there are idiots. And sometimes you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And there's no other explanation for it than that. You didn't do anything. You know, you didn't offend God. He didn't send you there. And so I think that the fact that we've had to deal with that stuff, helps other people. You know, and even to the extent that you know, you don't even have a conclusion, you can say, yeah, you know, I'm not at peace with that. I've thought about it a lot. Not because I particularly cared to think about it, but because, you know, it's darkened my doorstep on too frequent of occasion. And so, so it's just, yeah, but I do. I do think it's helpful when you can, you know, you can put your arm around somebody and have a frank conversation about living your life. Whether it's going to Europe and, you know, and I teased my daughter. I said, hey, you're standing there and someone yells, Allah Akbar, what do you do? She said, run. I said, that's exactly right, right? That's exactly right. So, I mean, you know, and then you try to be aware of your surroundings. You see a bag that is unattended, right? Get out of the way and tell somebody. I mean, just basic things that you can do. But other than that, you got to live your life. You got to live your life. And at some point, you know, you accept the randomness that comes with life. And as much as that sucks, that's as good as it gets. So yeah, I do find that it helps to, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a good place for your kids to lean on. And that they know that they can come and get an honest opinion and that you've, you know, sadly that you've walked down that road before and you can help them make sense of it. And I think one of the hard ones is, you know, why would God do this to somebody? God didn't do this, you know. And then I'll hand them, there's a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People that I've been a fan of for a long time. And he's a Jewish rabbi that writes it. His son gets a disease that ages him, you know, and I think at 14 he dies as a 90-year-old man, that disease. And so all the things that he's told people in difficult circumstances, there's a purpose for this. You know, God needs it more than you do. The hardest fire goes to the hardest steel goes to the hottest fire. You know, all those kind of things that people say. You know, he now has them said to him, and he rejects all of them. But he thinks about it. You know, about the nature of God and you know, and what it is to be a human being. And ultimately, his conclusion in the book is he rejects God as an all-loving being. And he's there to inspire us. But we are humans. We're here. He doesn't have a spreadsheet saying, oh, really? McNamara just cut that guy off going south on the 405? Then I'm going to have somebody key his car door in the parking lot of Vons like 2 days from now. That's not happening. But I think in our, you know, the way we make sense of the world, you know, we believe there's a cause of and effect relationship between this stuff. And some of it is due to religion. Some of it people will tell you is because of karma. So you hear that. And then when these kind of events happen, you know, you get those questions. Well, what did he do? Why him? Why him and not him? You know? Luck, which got me back actually this morning to talking about my conversation with Patrick and Dick Winters running across that open field and Band of Brothers. You know, for every one guy who makes it across that field and Band of Brothers, what? There's 30 that get gunned down by a sentry that they didn't see that was assigned to watch that side of the field. And while you were doing your little recon, you didn't see him because he's leaning against a tree near a fence post with his head down. And his job was to watch that field, and he sees you get up and he doesn't see you get up, but he sees you running, catches his eye, puts his front sight post on you. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's stories of great American war heroes, and you hear how many times that everybody around him got knocked down by Custer. Custer's a great example of this. He fought in every major campaign that the Army of the Potomac fought in during the Civil War. And, you know, he led a cavalry regiment at Gettysburg, you know, I mean, charging artillery pieces. Right? He looks around like, where's everybody? Like, everybody, you know, everybody's dead. He's still alive. Like, what? And so the randomness of combat. And then the randomness of life, you know. So anyway, hard to explain to kids, but I think it certainly helps, and also helps, I think, that they have somebody that has lived through this kind of stuff, and when they have these troubling questions about life, that they have somebody to go to. And then the other thing I tell you is don't be afraid to bring it up to them, you know, on a day like today, because it's not like they're not going to talk about it. It's not like it's not going to fill up their cell phone. It's not like their friends aren't going to talk about it, or they're not going to talk about it at school. And again, it's just another brick in the "you can come talk to me" road. And so, yeah, why would you, you know, even if you don't have any experience with it, you know, and you don't have a whole lot of experience with that, don't be afraid to talk to them about it and just share your thoughts with them. But yeah, to answer the email in a very long-winded way, yeah, here's another one. You know, I watch this stuff, and it just makes me so angry. You know, your precious life taken from you by some idiot? For what reason? Who knows what? Something ridiculous, something stupid. I understand this about as well as I understand the thing that happened in Barcelona. What in God's name compels people to kill the innocent? If you want to man up, if you want to make a statement, take on the cops, take on the military. I just don't understand killing innocent people for what. Just makes my stomach sick. Sitting here watching the news. What could be done? Now, no outdoor concerts near tall buildings in Vegas? I would think that would be a no-brainer, because there's no way to protect people from it. Might the idiots of Al-Qaeda be watching this? So any kind of mass event downtown is now subject to this kind of stuff? Will the police departments now have to have long rifles with scopes in vehicles on every shift? Especially in proximity to downtown, so that if this happens, somebody can respond quickly and with a scope begin to suppress the shooter? Are we there? I think we just got there. Sick to my stomach. Appreciate the program. That's why I turned on this morning. The you know what? I mean, those are probably all pretty much things that are will happen. Which is, you won't see big outdoor events in proximity to high-rise hotels in Las Vegas anymore. They'll have them, but they won't be downtown. Right? You'll be shuttled out to some parking lot at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or some other place where nobody can do that kind of damage to a crowd ever again. And you know what? I would imagine that his comment about the cop thing is probably true. That there will be a quote-unquote, if you're in proximity to high-rise buildings, there will be some kind of, you know, sniper capability. Do we need to look at that? You know, I've yet to seen a timeline. One of the things I saw was that he was shooting for 5 minutes, which, truth be told, that's not a very long time. I mean, somebody to be alerted, and again, I don't know the details. You know, did he have a suppressor on his weapon? You know, could people see flashes? Did they know pretty quickly where the rounds were coming from? So, all of that. And if you haven't heard, evidently, the shooter took his own life. 50 plus dead, 400 plus injured. So standing by for the president. And then when after the president, then we'll talk to Alex Holling of SoftRamp, former Marine, and we'll get his thoughts on today. But top five stories while we're waiting for the president. U.S. carries out airstrikes, more airstrikes in Libya against Islamic State forces there. And then if you didn't see it, the head of the Air Force Academy, a three-star, reacted to racial slurs written on a dry erase board at a dormitory at the Air Force Academy prep school last week. If you haven't seen it, you can go on All Marine Radio's Twitter feed and find it. You can go on All Marine Radio's Facebook page and find it. And I'll probably post it on the website because it's awesome. You know, his message, and what I love in this day and age of political correctness, I love blunt. What he says is, hey, if you can't deal with people of different colors, with people with different genders, then get out. Then get out. And he says, and then he tells them to get out their cell phones. I want you to record this. And he goes right down the line, if you can't deal with this, get out. And so it's awesome. So if you haven't seen it, I would say by all means. Check it out. It's very good. Yeah, Air Force, go figure. You know, I hope the Navy's watching that. Navy needs some of that. The other thing that, you know, we talked about last week was a cautious State Department. Here's the headline is, cautious State Department asked Iran and Iraq to avoid violence with the Kurds. If Iran isn't, the Kurds held a referendum. And, I think the Iraqi government would have liked to have gone in there and done what the Spanish government did yesterday in terms of not allowing the vote or attempting to disrupt the vote. The problem is the Iraqi military doesn't have the ass to do that to the Peshmerga forces of the Kurds. So the Kurds have been a great ally of ours. We're trying to fashion something out of Iraq. And Turkey's adamant that this will not happen as well. So I'm not exactly sure how the United States, you know, walks that four-sided tightrope. But certainly more tension in the region. And interesting, Army, I didn't know they had landing ships. Yeah, they awarded a $100 billion contract for landing ships. So, anyway. All right, we're going to take a break. I got a couple other emails here. Here's one. Mac, did you watch the NFL over the weekend? Did you see any of the protests? You know what? I did not. I've had enough of that. So I don't need to watch it. Watched a little bit of college football on Saturday, hung out yesterday, did other things, and guess what? Life moved on. The baseball playoffs are coming, hockey's starting. I don't need the NFL. So, again, the whole them trying to find a better way to protest, I saw different headlines of different articles and all the rest of that stuff. Again, my point has been consistent from the start. Civil disobedience is normally a course of action for people that don't have another recourse, right? you choose that, going to jail, protesting, blah, 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 when you don't have a recourse. They have recourse. Here's the question. Why does the NFL, as a group, knowing the way its players feel, why don't they take a position? Why don't they put their money behind it? Why don't they put that shield behind it? Why don't they put their brand behind it? Why doesn't the NFL do that? Why is this left to the individual? So to me, the NFL, it's a clown show. It's a clown show. So, no, I didn't watch it, and I don't intend to watch it until somebody comes out and says, yeah, we're done being disrespectful of our flag. And, look, somebody I knew in North Dakota sent me an email about it, I was talking to them, and I said, let me share with you some photographs. You know, that I'm sure you've never seen. And it has to do with, you know, recovering remains. You know, as soon as we get, you know, the body in a body bag still, right? Flag goes over that. Shows Marines carrying the body bag with the flag draped over the top of it. And so then it shows bodies in caskets. I want to say there's probably four caskets that are being brought to a C-130. That's one. And then it shows what's called the ramp ceremony, which is as many people can get down to the C-130 before it leaves, go to pay their respects to whoever it was. So you have the, you know, the casket, you know, in there, you know, on a pedestal, if you will. And you have, you know, the Marine guard that's always there, because we never leave them alone. And so they're standing there at the position of tension. And then the picture shows people kneeling down, you know, just, you know, you form two lines outside the ass end of the C-130, and you walk up the ramp in twos, and you walk up, and most guys kneel down and say a prayer. And that's the way you say goodbye. I said, now you've never seen this part of life, but this is what the flag means to us. And then there's a memorial service, right? Of, you know, there's a picture that I have of it looks like a fire team, to include the dog and the dog handler, kneeling down in front of one of their Marines, right? His boots, his rifle, helmet, dog tags, and they're all in a very tight cluster with their arms kind of kneeling with their, or on a knee with their arms probably around each other, close to each other, whatnot. And you see, there's another picture that I have that's, I should put these on the website. I probably will today. But it's of a Marine that's coming up and he's kissing the dog tags of obviously a friend of his. You know, I said, so this is how powerful that is for us. I got it. It's their right. I'm offended though. And I'll put those images up because they're powerful images. And I know they don't get it. They want to make a statement, which to me is just stupid. Stupid. Not their cause is not stupid. They're capable of so much more, and that is stupid. Right? So I did see some headlines. I did not watch the NFL. And I would encourage you, you know, send your message through the Nielsen rating. They'll get it. If there's one thing the NFL understands, it's money. The NFL understands money. And when you begin to affect their money, you'll begin to affect their behavior. And the message is this. There's a better way. Find it. If your players feel that strongly about it, and the same thing with the NBA. Why isn't the NBA in that business? You know, if your players feel so strongly about that stuff, then by all means, have at it. Take a position. Put your money behind it. And then you live with the consequences. But if you don't do that, then what you leave them with is this misguided disrespect to the flag under the guise of, it's our right. Yeah, we got it. Okay. But it's our right not to come. It's our right not to pay. And we'll encourage other people not to do that because we think that that flag represents Martin Luther King just as much as it represents George Washington. It represents the struggle for freedom rights, for civil rights, and racial equality just as much as it represents the veterans of World War II. That's the American flag. That's the American flag that encompasses all that, that we, in my opinion, that we just stand up and honor. We can fight afterwards. But because you're pissed off about an issue, you know, don't turn your back on the greatest experiment in democracy and freedom on the planet because you're pissed off at one of the menu items. So, again, sorry to go off, but it's the way I feel. The president still hasn't... still hasn't spoken yet, so we'll take a quick break. When we come back, the president, hopefully of the United States, and then after that, Alex Hollings. DHS is kind of bombed in. No additional threats are out there. This guy evidently was known to law enforcement officials where he lived in Mesquite, Nevada. But evidently he had a conviction of a misdemeanor. And that's it. So, more of All Marine Radio on a sad Monday coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org /Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue. Standing by for remarks from the President of the United States. Another email. Hey, Mac, I heard you mention the Associated Press app that you have on your phone. How do you get information? I know you've been doing this for a long time. You must certainly have different places where you go when this stuff happens. The Associated Press app that I have on my phone, I like because they're about news. You know, you can go to different websites, and it gets confusing. Hold on. The President of the United States is about to speak.
Thank you. My fellow Americans, we are joined together today in sadness, shock, and grief. Last night, a gunman opened fire on a large crowd at a country music concert in Las Vegas, Nevada. He brutally murdered more than 50 people and wounded hundreds more. It was an act of pure evil. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are working closely with local authorities to assist with the investigation, and they will provide updates as to the investigation and how it develops. I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. The speed with which they acted is miraculous and prevented further loss of life. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful. It shows what true professionalism is all about. Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you, and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period. Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve. To the wounded who are now recovering in hospitals, we are praying for your full and speedy recovery and pledge to you our support from this day forward. In memory of the fallen, I have directed that our great flag be flown at half staff. I will be visiting Las Vegas on Wednesday to meet with law enforcement, first responders, and the families of the victims. In moments of tragedy and horror, America comes together as one, and it always has. We call upon the bonds that unite us, our faith, our family, and our shared values. We call upon the bonds of citizenship, the ties of community, and the comfort of our common humanity. Our unity cannot be shattered by evil. Our bonds cannot be broken by violence. And though we feel such great anger at the senseless murder of our fellow citizens, it is our love that defines us today and always will, forever. In times such as these, I know we are searching for some kind of meaning in the chaos, some kind of light in the darkness. The answers do not come easy. But we can take solace knowing that even the darkest space can be brightened by a single light, and even the most terrible despair can be illuminated by a single ray of hope. Melania and I are praying for every American who has been hurt, wounded, or lost the ones they love so dearly in this terrible, terrible attack. We pray for the entire nation to find unity and peace, and we pray for the day when evil is banished and the innocent are safe from hatred and from fear. May God bless the souls of the lives that are lost. May God give us the grace of healing, and may God provide the grieving families with strength to carry on. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you.
That is the President of the United States speaking from the White House. And again, as good as he could do is thank the first responders, offer his prayers, and say that answers during times like this are tough, which is one of the things that we've been talking about. And you know what? Bottom line, there is no answer. There is no reason. It's just a coincidence that so-and-so happened to be there, and so did he. And so, anyway, at least that's what I think. All right, we're actually, let me give Alex a call right now. We'll do it while we're on the air and get his thoughts on today as we continue to wait more news. We can talk news.
Hello?
Alex, you're on the air. Good morning. How are you?
Not bad. Yourself, man?
I'm all right. This stuff always, I've done it throughout the course of my career. I remember September 11th. You're a bit stunned as everybody else is as they wake up and they look at the news or saw it late before they went to bed last night. Your thoughts in general?
Well, the first thing that entered my mind as soon as I started watching the footage, which just like you said, you know, I got up this morning, I was aware that there had been an active shooter in Las Vegas as I went to bed last night, but I wasn't quite aware of just how severe the situation was, you know? And so I got up this morning and in the writer's room, which is like kind of a digital meeting place that we all gather, the other writers at my job at Software, and, you know, everybody's been kind of gathering intel from different corners of the internet and posting it, you know, and the first thing that crossed my mind was just the rate of fire coming down from, you know, he had a hotel room on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, which if you've spent any time on the Vegas Strip, the Mandalay Bay Hotel offers an incredible field of view, you know, of the Strip itself, and just the rate of fire, it had to have been an automatic weapon, you know, which immediately, obviously, a lot of people are making this into a political debate about firearms, but automatic weapons are some of the most strictly regulated firearms that you can purchase in the United States. From what I've been able to find about the shooter himself, he doesn't appear to have been radicalized. He doesn't seem to have held extremist views that anyone can really speak to. The only things I can find that may speak to motive are that it looks as though he may have been going through a divorce recently, and it also appears that he once sued one of the hotels on the Vegas Strip over a slip and fall injury. But even those things don't really point to a clear motive. They might possibly point to a reason why he might have, you know, bad feelings running through his mind right now. But, you know, right now, even hours after it goes on, you know, we're all just asking questions.
Yeah. It's, you know, what I read, he lives in Mesquite, Nevada, right? So that's about 80 miles northeast of Las Vegas, so kind of out in the desert. The home he lives in is inside a retirement community called Sun City Mesquite, an upscale development of about 1,400 homes. The community includes an 18-hole golf course, indoor and outdoor swimming pools, recreation center. Residents must be at least 55 years of age with no children allowed. So, it doesn't sound like a guy who would be radicalized.
And he must have been, aside from living in that relatively upscale environment. I mean, he's a pilot. He's got a pilot's license. It looks like he either has or currently does own two airplanes, which speaks to how well-funded he would need to be to have an automatic weapons license, because you would need to be a dealer or, you know, be wealthy enough to have all the right friends in order to be able to have a weapon like that legally.
Well, yeah, since you brought it up, let's talk about it. I mean, you can modify a sear on a weapon yourself. Not very difficult to create an automatic weapon.
You know, that's a good point. That is a very good point, you know. From what I understand, he was nearsighted, you know. So some people would have pointed to the idea that maybe he had political motivations, not unlike we saw when Representative Scalise was shot recently.
Yeah, right.
But I'm not sure that we can even extrapolate that, because from what I understand, this guy, Stephen Paddock is his name,
right.
He's nearsighted. He very well may have chosen this target entirely out of opportunity. You know, if your vision's failing, he's 64 years old, 22,000 people gathered en masse laid out below you is a hell of a target, even if you're not a good shot or maybe your vision's not so good, particularly at night. You don't need to aim, you know, and you don't need an incredibly accurate firearm. So I can see a homemade automatic weapon, you know, a converted AR or similar platform, I could definitely see being the culprit here.
Yeah, because you and I both know that automatic weapons are notoriously inaccurate. I mean, the first round may be close, and then because of the kick of the weapon, unless you're a really, really experienced automatic rifleman, and you got to lean, on that, then it's extremely inaccurate, difficult to control. Shooting into a crowd, though, as Alex said, I haven't heard the audio yet. Have you heard any audio? Does it sound like burst?
I have. It sounds like in all honesty, like Jack Murphy, our editor-in-chief, one of the first things that he said was, Jesus Christ, that sounds like a saw. You know, the rate of fire, to be honest with you, it sounds to me more like a saw, maybe with a suppressor on it, but the rate of fire is incredible, and as you're listening, you can hear prolonged rates of fire, which leads me to believe that he either had more than one drum magazine handy, or it had to have been a belt-fed weapon. Sometimes you can hear fire continuing for 30, 40 seconds at a clip. Then there's a pause and a lull in the crowd, and some of the footage you can see, they maybe start to get up and mull about a little bit. Some of them try to run away, and then fire starts again, and you see people diving for the ground, rolling around. It's hard to tell who's getting hit and who's not, but it's clear that a whole lot of people were getting hit. Dan Bilzerian, who's, you know, a social media personality, you know, he once tried to become a Navy SEAL but didn't make it through SEAL school. He was there and posted a video of him running away. You can hear the automatic weapons fire in the background, and he's yelling about a girl that he just saw get shot in the head. There's a lot of dramatic footage that, and I'm sure we're going to see more surface in the days to come, because with 22,000 people there, and you know how it is, everybody's filming the concert for them to put on their Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook.
Right.
You know, some of the footage I've seen, Jason Aldean didn't even stop performing when the gunfire first broke out because I think most people didn't recognize it to be gunfire initially.
Right.
You know, it was only once, you know, bodies started hitting the ground that the crowd really panicked and right. started to scatter.
This is evidently some audio. I haven't previewed it, so I don't know what it sounds like, but this is just shot from a cell phone at the concert. Looks like it's in the center of the floor, looking at the stage, but we'll see if we can make anything out of the audio. Holy shit.
See what I'm saying, man? That is insane.
That's got to be
absolutely insane.
Mike Musselman just sent me a text. He said that's got to be belt fed. There's no way.
You know,
there's no way that's coming out of a magazine. I mean, that again. I stopped it. Hold on. This is just a. I don't know. It's a clip that I got off the Drudge Report. But let me rewind it, and I'm gonna hit a stopwatch. Let me get my shit together here.
To see just how long he's able to maintain consistent fire.
All right. Stand by. Here's. Go. That was 10 seconds of automatic gunfire.
Now just imagine from an elevated firing position on the 32nd floor, firing out over a crowd of 22,000 people that had gathered in the street with nothing inhibiting his view. You know, no cover unless you can get to either the left or the right flanks. Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
Wow. Well, let me just play more of it. This clip's about 2 minutes. So that was 10 seconds, all right? I'll tell you what, it's sickening to listen to it because that's the sound of the battlefield. It's not the sound of the...
Absolutely.
That's not the sound of in a city. That is, you know, that is everybody get down, locate that thing, and let's blow that son of a bitch away. That's what that sound is. All right, so hold on 1 second. This is where we left off after 10 seconds of automatic rifle fire. He must be reloading.
That would be my assumption, man.
Some software. My guests this morning, we're talking to it. It does. I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
It's, you know, when you see something like this, first and foremost, it's of note to mention that this is now the deadliest mass shooting in American history. You know, and which is saying something, because unfortunately we've had some doozies, you know. And what's particularly frightening to me about this is that this wasn't, you know, the standard talking points that you tend to go to when it comes to a terrorist attack. And regardless of if he had any extremist ties, this is, in my opinion, a terrorist attack. But he had no overt ties to radical Islam. You know, he's not a refugee. He looks just like the guy who went and voted for Donald Trump, you know, in November. This is the future, unfortunately, of these types of attacks, is that you can't profile away this type of crime. You know, we can't lump people into a category and go, well, we better keep an eye just on these guys who are refugees from Syria or something like that. Unfortunately, you know, these kinds of attacks, they come from within just as much as they come from without. And it's really, really difficult to see this coming. You know, his own family, or they said that they feel like an asteroid fell on them. They said that he's not even particularly religious. They don't know what views he might have that he could hold so dear that he'd be willing to kill someone over. You know, and so when you can't tie a motive to an act like this, when you can't tie an extremist group to an act like this, it's really, really difficult to try to weed these out before they can take place. And in a lot of ways, this is unfortunately the future of trying to keep, you know, the American people safe. Is destructive capacity is only going to go up. Even if you ban all the firearms in the country, unfortunately, and people would still be killed, you know. As technology becomes more readily available, as the means by which to kill becomes more readily available, in all kinds of forms, you can see it in North Korea with nuclear weapons, it's going to be harder and harder and harder to weed these kinds of attacks out before they take place. You know, and it's a frightening glimpse into the future, unfortunately, is what I really think we're seeing this morning.
I hope not, you know. But, you know, this technology has been around for a long time, Alex, and we haven't seen this. It's like the deadly mix in all of this is people that are crazy. You know what I mean? The saw has been around since 1984. You know what? But we never. And I'll tell you what. That's exactly what that shit sounds like. Is I'll get Mike Musselman on here, and you know, and he'll be able to tell me. But their 10-second burst is that the amount of time that it takes to pump 30-round magazine through a saw, and then you know he's up there reloading. But God Almighty, I mean, that's exactly having done a million ranges in my day, and Mike done about 10 million. But you hear that, and it's like, holy smokes. How do we stop it? Anybody who wants to do this, you can find it out there. You can find it on the black internet. You can find it on the internet. You can find the instructions to make the bombs. You know, you can, all of that is readily accessible and just, you know.
And more and more every day, you know, and it's. In my opinion, there's not a lot of ways to keep a violent person from committing a violent act.
No, right? I agree.
They're going to find a way, you know. And I think that this is, in a lot of ways, it's going to have to serve as a wake up call. But the question really is, what do we do from here?
Once we wake up to what?
What do we do now?
Right.
And I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer either, because as you said, trying to acquire a machine gun, good luck on that deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's...
You know, especially a military-grade built-fed weapon. Now, I understand that there are civilian versions, like of the Saw. The Saw K from the Machine Gun Armory is an awesome weapon, and you can get it in a lot of different calibers. But nonetheless, actually getting your hands on one is no... small feat, you know.
But as a guy who's a pilot, you know, he's got access to, you know, it's not like when he goes down to Mexico and flies back, that's, you know, he has to go through customs and somebody searches his plane.
Right? You know, that's an interesting point. That's a very interesting point.
I mean, but so he's obviously got cash if he owns two planes. He owns a very nice home that he just purchased.
He's got a hunting license out of Alaska, yeah. Which means he's no stranger to travel. His single prop plane isn't flying him to Alaska.
But you know? I would tell you this. I think your point is well made. If you have people that are determined to do this, right, we've seen them, like, just over the weekend, you know, whether they get out with a knife and stab somebody in a train station, throw acid on somebody.
Drive their vehicle into a crowd.
Drive their vehicle,
yeah.
You know, if they're determined to do it. The question is, this guy, enough knowledge about firearms, and in some way, shape, or form, savvy enough to either convert one into an automatic weapon or to actually get his hands on an automatic weapon, and then, you know, to be deranged enough. You know, that, I'll tell you what, that audio, that's, I mean, it's when you watch it, and it's on the Drudge Report for anybody who, and I've got an email about where you get your information, Alex, but it's two things that are completely opposite. You're watching a country western, the scene is a country western music concert in Las Vegas with women, and you have all people of all ages, which is one of the coolest things about country music, in my opinion. Now, the demographics are very wide. And it's a beautiful night in early October, which is why they do these things outdoors in Vegas, because they can, and it's absolutely beautiful. And then from the complete other end of the spectrum is this noise that's never associated with that scene. And you're watching it, listening to it, and again, here's if you just joined us, listen to the audio. That makes you want to vomit. It's just, they don't go together. They don't go together. And so, I don't know. When you, as you said, when you have people that are committed to this kind of stuff, and I will tell you this. I've said this before. One of the things that we've seen with terrorist incidents around, you know, in the UK and in the United States is that there haven't been that many guys that have been able to get their hands on firearms to do this kind of damage. You know, in the UK and in Europe in particular, but, you know, even in Barcelona, you know, the control of firearms, and the effectiveness of that control is still in effect. And that's why this is, you know, pretty disturbing. Who was this guy? And the question is, what was his motivation? Why?
That's really the big question that I'm racking my brain with here is, what pushed this guy? You know, he has a roommate who apparently has been traveling. The police initially that were considering her a person of interest, right, as well, right. But from what I understand, they got a hold of her and spoke to her and understand that she wasn't around.
Right.
You know, and I've already heard some people say, yeah, right, I'm sure. But to be perfectly honest, just having a bunch of firearms does not make you a potential terrorist.
I hope,
you know?
Not. I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not.
Because
if
it does, yeah, we know a bunch of them.
Yeah, you know, so I certainly, if what his family is saying is true and what I understand about his roommate is true, this seems to come just about out of the blue. I understand that he did sue one of the casinos on the Vegas Strip a few years ago for a slip and fall incident. And again, I can't tie that in my mind to opening up an automatic weapon on a crowd of thousands of people. You know,
the only way you get there is you've completely lost your mind. I'm not, and we don't, obviously, hit the course of his losing his mind has not been through contact with law enforcement authorities. It's happened some other way. But again, to do this I don't even know a word for it. Question for you. I got asked this question, and Mac, where do you get news when news breaks? I said I have an AP app, and I also, you know, over the course of the years, The website that I've seen that has been very good at all of this is the Drudge Report. It's an amalgamation of just links, and they tend to get things up in a hurry and cover a wide area. Alex, how do you get information during things like this?
You know, it's kind of a combination. I know that a lot of people think that, especially as a journalist, you kind of get like a direct line into when things go down. But when I get up in the morning, especially when something like this happens, it's really 50-50. I mean, I get probably a solid half of the stuff that I end up reporting on and stuff the same way a lot of other readers do. The first thing I do is I check the MSM outlets, you know, Reuters, BBC, things like that, and see what they're reporting. But then I try to compile that with the information that I get from, I know we've spoken about Dataminer before. Dataminer is a source that I use that, it aggregates social media posts about a certain topic and then sorts them for you based on a precedent, kind of a priority list that you put in. And, in any given moment, I would say maybe 5 to 10% of what you get through Dataminer, actually is pertinent to the story you're trying to write. But that 5 to 10% is extremely valuable, you know. And then sources on the ground. Fortunately, I work for a company, StopRep.com, that's got a lot of contributors in a lot of places. And every one of those contributors has a network. So when something like this happens, guys will pop in the writer's room and say, hey, my buddy's there right now. He's texting me back and forth. And he'll post pictures of the texts he's getting. You know, or this morning I was writing up a bare bones analysis of what happened. And one of the other writers, a former Navy SEAL, was like, hey, man, listen, I was there. I don't want my name on this right now, but let me tell you what I saw, you know. And so I try to kind of combine what I can get from sources I either already know or I can be put in contact with what I can glean off of kind of social media aggregating.
Right.
And then a combination of what you get from the MSM, because they usually have, you know, Reuters will have someone there talking to the chief of police, and, you know, you can pull good quotes from things like that. So it really is, it's kind of an amalgam of, you know, a guy who was there, a reporter who was there, a mainstream media outlet, and just kind of the general social media traffic that you got to kind of sift through, you know, especially when it comes to videos and pictures. A lot of times that'll be the fastest you'll learn about something. If someone just throws up a video and they'll say, oh my God, I'm in Las Vegas and I don't know what happened.
Right.
But when you listen to the video, just like you just did a minute ago, you can start to kind of glean some facts about what must be going on. If you've got an attuned ear to firearms, you can say, God, that sounds like a saw. You know, you can look at how the crowd responds and things like that, and you can ascertain things just based on actually seeing the footage of it as soon as someone uploads it. You know, so it's really, it's a mix of a whole bunch of things that you kind of try to put together into one coherent story.
I'll tell you, the other place that I've learned to go that is not, I didn't instinctually go there when this stuff happens, but they break a lot of stuff, is TMZ. TMZ has become incredibly popular because of the TV show they do, and they get their hands on stuff that other people don't somehow, some way. Let me play, CBS did an interview with this guy's brother. And let me play the audio. This is his brother. His brother's saying that he's not an avid gun collector.
Did you know him to have guns? Was he an avid shooter? I mean,
no,
you know, not that that.
Not an avid gun guy at all. The fact that he had those kind of weapons is just, where the hell did he get automatic weapons? He has no military background or anything like that. When you find out about him, like I said, he's a guy who lived in a house in Mesquite and drove down and gambled in Las Vegas. He did stuff. Eat burritos.
Was the woman that they were looking for his girlfriend?
Yes. Yeah, Mary Lou. I mean, that's why I was on the phone with the cops.
Right.
Because I mean,
what do you know about
we were worried that he might have hurt her, too.
Police are actually describing her as his wife.
They might have got married, but I don't think they're married. He's just his girlfriend.
That's the brother saying that. Not a military guy. Doesn't have a background in guns. Blah, 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 blah. So, hard to believe.
I wonder when the last time his brother spoke to him was.
Yeah, I'm with you. Pretty hard to believe, given what we just heard. You don't have a background in guns. You don't do that. I can tell you that.
You don't even have a belt fed automatic weapon without a background in guns.
Yeah, somehow. You know? Other, yeah, I'm with you. How close are you to your brother? Because
you know, who knows? Maybe they haven't talked in 10 years, and the guy became a gun enthusiast in the meantime. But if not, this just further kind of muddies the water into what the hell happened last night.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. In terms of, let me just play this audio from the Las Vegas Police Department, and then I'll let you get back to work, Alex. I know you're a busy guy today, so 1 second.
Well, good evening. Obviously, I'm Sheriff Joe Lombardo from Clark County, and I'm here to talk to you about...
Now, this is interesting. This is the second time in, 96 hours we've seen this sheriff. On Friday, he held a press conference to talk about the incident, the NFL with Michael Bennett, the NFL football player, and he spent about 20 minutes going through videotape showing how his officers acted to Michael Bennett, and now less than 96 hours later, he's back in front of the nation again. So interesting. Never saw this guy before, and now he's a regular on my computer.
It's a tragic event that's taken place, and it's currently taking place at the Mandalay Bay out on the Las Vegas Boulevard South. We experienced an active shooter situation approximately 10:08 p.m. tonight, this evening. We had calls come into dispatch of multiple shots being fired from the direction of the Mandalay Bay towards the Route 91 concert that was taking place on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard. Through investigation and response, we determined there was a shooter on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay. Officers responded to that location and engaged the suspect at that location. He is dead currently. He has been identified. He is a local resident. I will not release his name at this time, but we are interested in a companion that is traveling with him, and her name is, and I will provide you the name, so please be accurate on this, is Mary Lou Danley, M-A-R-I-L-O-U. Last name spelled D-A-N-L-E-Y. She is a Asian female, approximately 4'11", 4'11", weight of 111 pounds. We have not located her at this time, and we are interested in talking to her for follow-up. Two vehicles we're interested in locating, and we need your assistance with that. We have a Hyundai Tucson with Nevada plate 114-Baker-40, B-40, and a Chrysler Pacifica Touring, Nevada plate 19-D-401. These are the plates registered to the suspect that we located at the Mandalay Bay. So there's a couple of things that need to occur at this time. One is the Red Cross is responding to the headquarters here at the police department at 400 South Martin Luther King to receive any phone calls from family members who are trying to locate their family that attended the concert and aren't unable to contact them. So that number will be established here shortly, and we'll get it out to you to publicize it here shortly. Additionally, anybody that may have cell phone video or any type of video associated with this event that would be a benefit to the investigation, please respond to the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department headquarters at 400 South Martin Luther King, and we will take custody of that video. So if you have it, you evaluate it, and you think it would be a benefit, please bring that down to the headquarters. So family members, if you are unable to call or you do not want to wait for a call and you want to respond in person, we have set up a family retreat area for you to respond so we can help you locate your loved ones here at the headquarters. So you will be contacted by a police officer here at the headquarters, and they will direct you to where you need to go. Standing with me is a special agent in charge of the FBI, Aaron Rouse. He is assisting with the investigation, which is ongoing. And then we have Fire Chief Greg Castle from Clark County Fire, and they are assisting with all the victims. Now, as far as number of victims, I cannot give you an accurate number at this point. We have well in the excess of 100-plus injured and excess of 20-plus that have died at this point. So we will get those numbers to you accurately as soon as we can. But please bear with us. This is an ongoing investigation. But we are comfortable that the primary aggressor in this event is has expired or passed away and is no longer a threat. There has been multiple phone calls and accusations or conjecture coming through social media that there's multiple shooters at other resorts. That has been proven to be false. Additionally, there has been accusations or beliefs that there's some explosives going off. That is also false. The only explosive contained in this event was from our SWAT team breaching the room. So please, we are pretty confident that there is no longer a threat other than we are attempting to locate the person of interest. Yeah, we have I have two police officers that are currently at the hospital, one in critical condition, the other one minor injuries. But there are other police officers that were off duty attending the concert that have expired. We don't have those individuals identified at this point. Wow. Right now, we believe it's 100 plus injured and 20 plus dead. Okay, and I don't want to give you an accurate number because I do not have it at this point. I still want them to shelter in place. They will be contacted by first responders, and they'll advise them when they're free to go. It's better to shelter in place than to be unaware.
This was done after midnight at some point, obviously. The death toll has more than doubled since then, and the number of injured has quadrupled.
We believe there's a couple off-duty officers that were attending the concert that may have died. We don't have them identified yet. Well, it is. It's a devastating time, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, we have been talking about active shooters in the past, and it's unfortunate it did occur here. But we have responded to the scene, and we're doing the best we can to provide safety for the survivors. And right now we believe it's a sole actor, a lone wolf type actor, and we have the place under control.
All right. Alex, what are you writing about today, or does that evolve throughout the course of the day?
Yeah, well, right now what I'm working on doing is I'm using Dataminer and some other tools to go through social media videos. And me and a few other writers are trying to piece together a timeline of events based off of footage that's going on. And that'll, I'm sure, be up on softrep.com later on today for subscribers. To be honest with you, this story is probably going to absorb the better part of my day, just trying to piece together who this guy is and exactly what the course of events were that led up to this last night. You know, those are my 5 and 50-meter targets as far as targets farther off than that. I couldn't tell you right now. But for any subscribers out there, I'd recommend hopping on SoftRep. Later on today, we should have some semblance of a timeline based on cell phone videos and things like that we're able to put up to try to help make some sense of this.
Got it. All right. Hey, I appreciate you hopping on with us this morning, and just a shitty day. And then the other part of this that, you know, that those of us who've done this for a while, the whole question of why did mine get it and somebody else didn't, and that's a tough one because at the end of the day there is no answer why.
Even if we had the suspect in custody, I'm not sure that we'd ever know.
Right.
You know.
Right. All right, but I appreciate you coming on. Thanks.
No problem at all. Anytime.
All right. There you have it from SoftRep, Alex Hollings here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. We are going to take a break. I'm going to see if Mike Musselman's available to join us a little bit early today, and we'll get his thoughts. The Las Vegas Police Department is going to hold a press conference, in the not-too-distant future. So we'll take a quick break. We'll check and see if the Gunner can come on and give us his thoughts. As the nation, you know, scratches its head and holds its own heart on a terrible morning. So, good morning to you. Thanks for joining All Marine Radio. We'll get Mike Musselman on, see what he's doing coming up next here on a Monday edition right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with a serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. The Las Vegas Police Department is going to hold a press conference. But, you know, one of the reasons when I started this that I was happy to do it was that when things like this happen, like guys like Mike Musselman come on and, right, they're weapons experts and they can tell you up from down and whatnot. So Mike joins us now. Mike, when did you hear about this? Just this morning, right?
Yeah. I saw my wife had been Googling Las Vegas on her iPad and I was like, what's going on? And then I just kind of briefly looked at it and then that's when I sent to you. I said, what the hell's going on? And you're like, turn on the news. So I did. And then I was like, what?
Yeah, no kidding.
This doesn't sound right. Yeah.
So, you heard the audio before I did, but you heard an edited version. You heard what some of those things linked together.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that was my problem. Yeah, when I heard it, it was like 3 minutes of shooting, and I was like, okay, not bullshit. I call bullshit.
Yeah.
And then when I went on and looked, and I was looking for individual posts unedited, I found a really good audio sound of it, and so I played the audio and I put it on a spectrograph.
Hey,
Mike,
hold on. The police chief in Las Vegas, he's making a statement. So 1 second, all right?
All right, go.
I do not want to give you bad information, so please do not press me on that number until we get further into this investigation. The number of injured, we are using the number of 515. And as you can tell, as the hours go by, that number continues to increase. We have not received any additional intelligence associated with the suspect. We have completed the search warrant in Mesquite. I am not aware of any derogatory information that we can utilize to furtherance of this investigation at this point, but we have just recovered items, and it will take a little while to evaluate that information. We have learned information of additional property in northern Nevada, and the FBI has responded to the location and will be serving a search warrant here shortly. We have completed the investigation at the room. We have collected all the items associated with the suspect, and we are in the recovery phase of that. The Mandalay Bay itself has gone back to service minus the 32nd floor, and they would like everybody advised that if they are separated from their hotel room, they have the ability to return to the hotel. Now, the location in question, the concert hall, we will be in a long process of body recovery out there and evidence recovery and evidence documentation. So you're going to have to ask the public's patience and as we bring information forward. It's a long, laborious process to identify the victims and reunite them with the family members to advise them of their situation. So we still have the families responding to the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department headquarters in order to conduct a reunification of their family or friends. Eventually, in the next few hours, actually, I don't want to give you a skewed timeline, but approximately 1 p.m., we will request the family members to respond to the convention center area to utilize a larger space, and we could bring in the victim advocates to assist with the family members in the long term. Right now, it's just a temporary phase associated with the reunification. Additionally, we are asking to solely utilize United Blood Service for blood donation and UMC as the only places to donate blood. We had some resource issues associated with the laborers' medical clinic. I applaud their effort to help us in that effort, but we have some resource issues associated with that. So better utilize lvmpd.com to ensure that you know where those United Blood Service locations are so we can get the needed life-saving blood for the victims associated with this. At this point, as you can tell, I have several individuals to my rear that would like to make comment. Reference the ISIS statement. I want to bring that up now. So I give the opportunity to Special Agent Rouse to respond to that from the FBI, and he will explain what we know now reference the ISIS claim in this individual. Thank you.
Good morning. As this event unfolds, we have determined to this point no connection with an international terrorist group. As this investigation continues, we will continue to work with our partners to ensure that this is factually, thoroughly, and absolutely investigated to be able to bring comfort and peace back to this community. Thank you.
That was the FBI.
Good morning. My name is Ruben Kiwen. I'm the congressman for the 4th Congressional District here in Nevada. I just want to say thank you to law enforcement and to all the first responders who are now fighting tirelessly to protect and save lives. I had the opportunity to stop by Sunrise Hospital earlier this morning. Saw firsthand a lot of the victims, a lot of the family members, but I also saw a lot of nurses and doctors that were working tirelessly to save lives. And today it's a very sad day for Nevada. It's a very sad day for Las Vegas. But if anything good came out of this is that I saw humanity. I saw our community come together. I saw strangers helping strangers and saving lives. And so I do want to say thank you to the sheriff and to Metro Police, to firefighters, the doctors, the nurses, and everybody who is working tirelessly to save lives at this precise moment. I know we're going to get through this, and our city will be stronger. Thank you so much.
I'm Clark County District Attorney Steve Wolfson, and on behalf of the Clark County DA's office, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody associated with this event. Two of my prosecutors, two of my young female prosecutors, were actually at this concert close to the stage. And I've spoken to both of them this morning, and they're pretty rattled. They're pretty shaken up. This was a horrific event, to say the least. This is a classic WMD. This is a weapon and a man of mass destruction. What I'm pleased so much about is how this doesn't involve politics in the sense of Republican or Democrat. We are here. All of us are Nevadans. And I'm very proud to be present with the other leaders here because we're working together to get through this. I want to thank Sheriff Lombardo for your leadership in leading us through this terrible, terrible day. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner?
Thank you, Sheriff. I want to first off begin by thanking the sheriff. I got down here 8 or 9 hours ago. There weren't many of us here 8 or 9 hours ago, so it was just a handful immediately after this incident. But I can tell you that our first responders, both the fire men and women of the fire department and Metro, were on their way in when this all happened. We've got first responders that are literally covered in blood as a result of this. There's a lot of victims that have not been identified as of this point, but they have stepped up. It was a sole shooter. There is no further threat that we're aware of, no immediate threat. I want to assure everyone that's listening that here's our words, that Las Vegas is safe. The men and women at Mandalay Bay and MGM Resorts have been incredible in terms of communicating and working with the sheriff's office in order to assure us that everybody can, you know, be taken care of, get back into the rooms, and that they all understand that we are safe and we are doing everything humanly possible to protect all our tourists and our citizens in Clark County. That being said, the sheriff and I have set up a GoFundMe account that some of you might have seen. We have been inundated with phone calls and emails and text messages of people asking what they can do. There's going to be a lot of family members that are going through an awful lot at this particular time. As the sheriff said, we have over 500 in our hospitals being treated, and we need to provide them with some sort of support. So we have done that, and I just can't say enough about the fine men and women that are our first responders here in Clark County, and all of the cities and jurisdictions have pulled together. And I thank them all for that. We've pledged the full resources of Clark County to assist the sheriff and the FBI in any way humanly possible. It will be at a service, and we ask for your prayers. God bless you.
I want to thank you all. I'm Mayor Carolyn Goodman of this great city, and absolutely mirror what Commissioner Sisolak had spoken to about the great response, rapid, thorough, of our first responders and law enforcement. I spent part of last night and was late this morning with you all because I was over at UMC in the trauma unit, and It's been a very, very difficult time for us. And as we look forward to continuing what our great city does, we offer a safe place. This is a crazed lunatic full of hate. We don't know much about his background, but it certainly is not an extension of what we believe in, what everybody who lives here and works here and those who visit here want to see. This is something that was simply outrageous, uncalled for, and so many innocent people, young people, children, parents who've lost loved ones, and so many still suffering in the hospitals, gone through major surgery. We have some that were hit quite lightly with shrapnel as they were near the exits. It's been a hugely traumatic time for all of us and for our visitors who love country music, many of whom have come from the northern part of our states here and just really came here for a wonderful, safe time. We pride ourselves in our law enforcement. They are unequaled. They are so rapid to respond, so thorough in what they do, and our first responders have been simply phenomenal. It is a city and a community that has pulled together. Everybody is working so hard to make sure that we are taking care of the needs of the families and those who've lost loved ones, and it's just been a very, very traumatic time for everybody. The president gave a beautiful message, and he will be visiting us either sometime later today, tomorrow, or Wednesday. Great concern. And we just know that the entire community, I have so many mayors that have called, governors who have called me personally to express their support, help, and what we ask for is blood. That's the main thing right now, is that if our people want to do something and they are healthy, then please donate blood. We'll have plenty of bags available. Always call a hospital if you're unsure where to go. So thank you very much. And Madam Congresswoman, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step in front of you. You always go before me, Mayor. It's a pleasure to follow you. Well, thank you very much. I'm Dina Titus. I represent Nevada's District 1. It includes the fabulous Las Vegas Strip, including the Mandalay Bay, where this horrendous act took place. You know, so many times I welcome people to Las Vegas and all the excitement and entertainment and fun it has to offer. Never thought I'd be standing here trying to offer solace and my office assistance to victims of something like this that would happen. All through the night, we were briefed by law enforcement. I thank you, Sheriff, and your team for all that you did, and the first responders. Mainly, we were trying to stay out of the way because you don't want to turn a personal tragedy into a political event. Today, my office will be giving blood, as the mayor said. They appreciate your thoughts and prayers, but what they need is blood. We'll be open to do anything we can to assist. But, you know, I've just been hearing all these stories of heroism that occurred in the midst of this tragedy. You had off-duty police officers who were there just for the concert, for an evening of fun, who were able to help people get shelter and who were able to identify the location of the shooter. And just random strangers, a friend of some of my staff members who lives in the district, said they were running, being trampled. Somebody just opened a van door and pulled them inside for shelter and safety. That's the kind of people we have here in Las Vegas who are willing to reach out and help one another. And so I thank all of our law enforcement. I thank the first responders, those in the hospitals where people are just in the halls, in the parking lot, trying to take care of so many. And please call on our office if there's any way we can be of assistance.
I'm Adam Laxalt, Nevada's Attorney General. And I want to echo what a lot of people have said today. I've been here since about 2 in the morning, and the job that Metro and our law enforcement and first responders have done is just absolutely remarkable. We've never been hit with such a tough situation in this city, and to see the poise and the pressure that they're able to perform under was truly astounding. I believe that they're always going to be able to get us out of these situations. Our law enforcement will be able to step up to the plate when we need them most. And, of course, the city and our state will bounce back. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to add one more thing before we have the governor come up. I got to ask you to do something else. When you see one of these men or women wearing a badge or members of our fire department, tell them thank you. Their selfless actions saved the lives of hundreds of people. Not a dozen people, hundreds of people. This death count would have been many hundred more were it not for the brave work of every single one of these men and women that you see wearing a badge, members of our fire department, our first responders, our police department. So please, I encourage all of you watching, next time you see one, just say thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Governor Brian Sandoval. You know, I don't know if I have words to describe what we're going through and what these poor, unfortunate victims are going through. We're angry. We're grieving. We're confused. People are hurting. Now, I want to thank the sheriff and all the first responders. You know, I just had an opportunity to visit some of the patients in the hospital. And it's unimaginable what people are going through right now. You know, you got family members who are here and don't have anyone to reach out to. But the first responders and what they've done, it's their finest hour. Their finest hour. And the way that the sheriff and the Metropolitan Police Department have handled this event is unprecedented. The paramedics who came on the scene in basically what was a war zone and treated all those men, women, and kids. The healthcare professionals at the hospitals, the doctors who came from all over the valley to do whatever they could. And now, you know, we don't understand what's happened, and I'm sure we'll find out a little more from when Metro continues to do its investigation. I do know for everybody watching, and you know, I want to thank the President of the United States, the other governors that have reached out to me to offer their help and assistance. We need blood. So if anybody can contribute blood, anybody in the Las Vegas area or locally who can do that. But as we move on, we'll learn more. We're going to need this help. Now, this is obviously an unprecedented event in our nation's history, and we're going to have to learn from this. We're going to have to fight through this. We have to stop and pray for the families and for the victims. We have to rely on our faith in a time like this to get us through all of it. You know, I couldn't be prouder of the way that Nevadans have responded to this and what they've done. Doctors and nurses and everyone else who's worked through the night to save lives, and they've told me they've saved lives, that if not for their organization and their professionalism and their training. So again, Sheriff, thank you for the courage that you've shown. To the people that were at the concert, you see courage and compassion there. People helping total strangers, risking their own lives to help people. That really speaks highly to the character of America. So again, there's a lot to learn from all this. It was a cowardly, despicable act that I'm very angry about. There's not much we can do, but we can learn. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for everybody's care and concern. I said, you know, I'm really proud to be with everybody who's here, the mayor, the congressman, the attorney general, the sheriff, the congressman, our law enforcement. This is the Nevada family at its best. So God bless all of you, and God bless, most importantly, the families, the victims, the mothers, the fathers, the sons, the daughters, the aunts, the uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces, friends, and neighbors. And for everybody who's watching, please stop for a moment and pause and say a prayer for them. Thank you.
Sheriff Bartle, hold on a second. I'll take questions here just shortly. As you can see, we had the opportunity to have some of Nevada's delegation here today, and some are missing.
but I don't want them slighted because they all reached out to me, Senator Heller, Senator Masto, and Congresswoman Rosen. They all reached out to me throughout this tragedy and offered their assistance. So I don't want them slighted just because they're not standing behind me. Additionally, I have a chief of police next to me, and that's Chief Troy Tanner of the Mesquite PD. He has been instrumental in the assistance of his folks towards us to help us complete this investigation. So I think it's appropriate that he gets recognized for their effort. And then Greg Castle, he's just very humble. He's obviously the Clark County Fire Chief, and he likes to stand in the back. But where we are different in our jurisdiction, as through my travels in comparison to other jurisdictions, we work very well with the fire department, and they did not hesitate to pair up with an officer and enter the fray. So I want to thank him for that. Thank you, Greg. So I'm happy to answer some questions. As you know, the investigation is continuing, so please do not get too detailed on your questions because I probably will not be able to answer it at this time.
Sheriff Lombardo?
Yes, sir. No, the second location is just based off assessor's records of ownership. We discovered that he owned another piece of property in Northern Nevada. As far as the electronic evaluation, we haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. The only thing we are immediately aware in our position is additional firearms and ammunition.
People were hit with shrapnel at the exit. That's what Mayor Goodman said. I want you to follow up on that. And also, how did he get these weapons into the hotel room at Mandalay Bay?
Like I said, we're doing an investigation. I don't want to give you any inaccurate information, but we do know that he brought the weapons in on his own. In an original briefing, we believe that he was in partnership or companionship of a female, and we have determined the female is out of the country. So he brought these weapons in on his own. As far as method, I don't have the ability to give you an accurate picture.
Was the shooter known to local law enforcement here in Clark County or Las Vegas? Any prior charges?
No, not at all. We've checked all the federal databases and local databases and state databases, and we had no knowledge of this individual.
Sheriff, are we going to change the designation on the woman who was involved in this man from a person of
No, it's still we still consider her a person of interest. We have been in contact with her, and we plan to engage her upon her return to the country.
Do you have any idea how he was able to break through the windows? Was he able to open the windows, or did he smash the windows? Did he piece that together?
We believe he had a device similar to a hammer to smash the windows.
Sheriff, so far I've heard a description of the suspect as a lone wolf. Is the investigation looking into any potential ties, even loose ties, to extremist groups?
Well, obviously we'll do that. We will run it down to the very end. But right now, at face value, we haven't been able to identify that.
Sheriff, you said he checked in on Thursday, the 28th, at the hotel.
I believe that's accurate.
Did he have tickets to the concert?
I have no idea. So.
Do you know what he has done
No, we're following up on that. There will be hours and hours and hours of video surveillance that we will have to recall with the cooperation of the MGM.
Sir, this was a private
safety
with
being
your center upstairs where you see
the Fusion Center.
Correct. There are cameras everywhere, but a range of the city's cameras, outdoors, indoors. How did this happen?
Well, I don't understand what you're alluding to. How could it happen? This is an individual who was described as a lone wolf. I don't know how it could have been prevented if we didn't have any prior knowledge to this individual. It wasn't evident that he had weapons in his room. We have determined that there has been employees going to and fro from his room, and nothing nefarious was noticed at this point. That's what we know now. So,
Sheriff, first responders were integral to stopping more deaths. Can you describe how multi-agency effort and strike teams were able to find the suspect?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely correct. So any special event that takes place in the Southern Nevada region, it's required by NRS to supply police officers to ensure security. The Mandalay Bay did a great job of hiring police officers. They had sufficient staffing for the concert. And when this individual decided to fire upon the crowd, which was approximately 22,000 individuals, it's very difficult to manage that size crowd, and you have to ensure you have the proper staffing. And as described, our officers responded immediately in conjunction with the fire department as soon as the fire department arrived. But they were able to identify where the weapon was being discharged from in a proximity. It's hard to tell what floor it is from the outside. But once they gained entry into the hotel in conjunction with security and through phone calls from patrons, they were able to call it down to a possible floor. Once they made entry onto the hallway, they immediately knew what room was in question.
Sheriff, there's some dramatic reports about what exactly happened in the room when SWAT officers entered, that maybe there was so much smoke from the shells that the smoke alarms were going off. Is there any truth to any of that?
I don't know. I haven't been told about any smoke alarms, but I know that he had killed himself, and exactly, we'll have to go through our body-worn camera and existing video whether we engaged him at the same approximate time or not. No, ma'am. I can't get into the mind of a psychopath at this point.
Sheriff, on the investigation that's going on right now between at the site of the shooting, how extensive is it, and what are we talking about as far as Las Vegas Boulevard being shut down while the ballistics and the criminals do their work out there?
Well, I believe we've got most of Las Vegas Boulevard open. Directly adjacent to the Mandalay, it still remains closed. We'll ensure that we go out to the proper intersections to limit the hindrance of traffic. But we're looking at a minimum of 12 additional hours for documentation of the crime scene and the removal of the bodies.
Do you know about how long he was able to shoot for, and do you happen to know if there was ever any return fire from officers on the ground in any way?
No, I'm not aware of any return fire, nor am I aware of the timeline, but we did have SWAT officers discharge weapons at the room location. Yes, the federal or the FBI and the ATF is helping us with that aspect.
Sheriff, can you mention whether any injured or deceased come from the hotel? Were they all in the concert or were any in the hotel area?
I'm not sure, because we had people that were deceased and injured outside the vicinity of the concert area. So it would be hard to determine or make that determination at this point. We're obviously going to have to talk to all those injured individuals to make that assessment.
How many people who were injured were shot, and how many were injured running away?
I don't know, ma'am. The people have been displaced in 5 separate hospitals, so it's going to require an extensive review of that communication with them to determine it. So thank you very much. I appreciate everybody's time, and I appreciate everybody here to the back of me and their support of our police department. And we will keep you regularly updated. I can't give you an exact timeline at this point, but we will keep you informed as we receive information. Have a great day. Thank you.
That is the sheriff of Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm sorry, the police chief. And he is, they're just concluding a press conference. Mike Musselman with me again. Mike's done some original research, took the audio and did some spectral analysis, which is audio, analyzing audio for gunshots. So, Mike, first of all, talk about how long did he shoot for, and then how many rounds during that period of time?
He shot for just around 10 seconds each time. And then he would go into either, you know, some type of reloading phase, or, you know, they say multiple guns. You don't know what, I don't know what that means. To a police officer, multiple guns, which it is, but then he goes into, you know, a reloading phase and then comes back out. So he's about 10 seconds each time, and he's getting off around about 100 rounds, in 10 seconds.
Okay. So explain how he would do that. I mean, and acoustically, what is it? What kind of weapon does it sound like to you?
It's
Well, it's definitely a 556. I mean, it's, you know, 223, 556, and it's either an AR platform, with 100 round drum magazine capacity, or it's a belt fed, you know, 223, like something that would look like an M249 or, you know, a Unimax or something like that, something similar, but yeah.
So it
makes sense though, because it's, you know, the cyclic rate of those guns would be 11 rounds per, you know, 700 or 650 right. rounds per minute, 11 rounds per second, which is about what he's doing. You know, right. 10 rounds per second, 11 rounds per second, and he's shooting about 10 seconds, or in 10 seconds, he's getting off over 100 rounds. So, yeah, it's a, this one's just a new bar for shithead.
The 100 round magazine, I've never seen one. Describe what they look like.
They're a drum. It would be, so a magazine that would go in the magazine well, you know, so it's the same kind of proportion there. And then on each side would be flanked by two drums, two circles that would hold, I want to say that there's 20 or 40 rounds in each, and then there's 20 rounds that are actually in the center magazine. So that's where they get their 100 rounds.
Okay,
so it's not 15-50.
So it's a
40-40.
So it looks, it would look like 20. A conventional magazine that would go into the weapon, and then each one of those has
at
a
the bottom.
There's a drum to the left and right of that, or top and bottom of that, that continues to feed the magazine.
Yeah, it'd be left and right. So, and they're not really reliable. I mean, that's the problem when you see a lot of them. They usually jam a lot. In this case, they didn't. But, you know, they're usually not very reliable. You know, the military doesn't use a lot of them because they're not. They're just not really reliable. We've looked at them for over years.
All right, let me just play the audio so everybody can hear. This is essentially 100 rounds in 10 seconds, and you'll hear it. I'm just going to let the audio run. I think it's about a 90-second audio, but you'll hear the unmistakable noise. When you heard the audio, Mike, was there any doubt in your mind that it was either an AR or a SAW?
Oh, that was the AR. I've been shot at 5.56 before. That's an AR.
Right. All right. So here's the audio. I mean, that goes on forever. Now he's reloading. You can hear
people. Yeah, Matt, it's really hard to hear.
Yeah, you can hear people saying, is this for real? You know, and email question, Mike. Hey, Mac, I'm listening. I'm curious what advice the gunner gives somebody in this situation. Do you get down or do you run?
No, always. You know, and I see this, and it's like, how did he kill 58 people? Because they froze. They froze in the kill zone. You know, it's like an ambush. You know, you will die. You know, when I first went through, and you go through the training on how to defeat or how to get out of an ambush. And they tell you, you face the ambushers and you run and you attack them. And you're like, what? You know, but here's your option. I can stay in the kill zone, and that's why they call it a kill zone. If you stay in a kill zone, guess what happens to you? You don't zone out, you get killed. So it's get the hell out of a kill zone. And people can argue, well, which way is the gunfire coming from? It doesn't matter. Get the hell away.
it's much harder to hit a moving target than it is a stationary target, especially something that's cowering on the ground. Find cover. Get behind something. Try and identify. I mean, it's kind of easy, even in this kind of thing, because it's not really what we call an urban canyon, even though it's in an urban area. Meaning, when I say urban canyon, is if you can picture a canyon, it's got walls on both sides. You're isolated. When you yell, your voice echoes back and forth off the canyon walls. Da 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 da. In this case, you have Mandalay Bay, kind of to the west. You're kind of to the east, and you're in an open area. McLaren Air Force or a McCarran Airport is right behind you, so it's an open area. So the reverberation is not going to be that confusing. You're going to hear the sound in the report. Is get cover between you and danger. And cover is something solid. A blanket is not cover. That's concealment.
Yeah, a plastic traffic
a
barrier?
A plastic park tent, yeah.
Yeah, that's
a
not.
A plastic park tent is concealment. It'll conceal you, but bullets can go through concealment. So get the hell out of this. You see a lot of people in the initial one where they just lay it on the ground.
Right.
Get the hell away.
You know,
get out of there. I mean, that's what he's hoping for, is everybody just cowers in place. Because he's, you know, when you look at it, in all aspects of an ambush, man, the guy was thinking. He's an elevated platform. So, and I measure the distance. And this is, so I measure the distance. And he's about 200 yards.
Oh, man.
So he's in a perfect kill zone.
All right.
I mean, the ballistics of the bullet are performing at its best at 200 yards. You know, so they're going to, depending on what kind of bullet he's using, but regardless, at 200 yards, the 5.56 bullet is at its best. It's going to do the most damage when it hits some kind of tissue. You know, it's very stable in flight at that point. It's still got a lot of energy. It's going to expand. It's going to do a lot of damage. And, you know, again, he's an elevated, so he can look down and basically see more people than you would be if you're level. If you see, if there's 100 people, think of it like this. If you're looking at 100 people in a crowd and there's only 10 people in a row, you only can see 10 people. If you get elevated, the more elevation you get, the more people you see. And at that angle, you can see everybody. You know, all, whatever, 30,000 that were sitting in that crowd. And, it's horrible that he did what he did.
Wow. Here's an email. Would the weapons he used be enough to shoot out the windows? Are the windows not able to prevent this from happening?
Yeah, they're not ballistic. You could use a
handgun.
You know, anything. Handgun. You can use it. You can throw a bottle at the window through those hotels. They're going to shatter.
I mean, they could. The expense would be incredible on the exterior of the hotel to make them bulletproof. But yeah, they could, but pretty expensive thing to do.
I'm watching these videos and these people, again, are laying flat on the ground.
Right.
But what they didn't realize is he's in an elevated position. Laying flat on the ground is not doing anything for you.
Yeah, but you know, Mike, you can hear people saying, get down. I mean, they just don't know, right? They don't know. They don't know. In fact, it's ironic. Last night, Colleen has been here. I have her every other week, so Colleen's here. And Catherine got off work and came over for dinner, and so we grilled steak. And Catherine's going to go to Europe, so the subject came up, and I said, and I looked at her and I said, "Lots of terrorism over there." And she's like, "Dad," and I said, "What?" Just trying to keep it real, girlfriend. And she said, "I know. I've been reading about it," and I said, "But you're not going to let it stop you from going." She said, "No." And I said, "Okay. When you hear somebody yell, 'Allah Akbar,' what do?" She said, "Run." I said, "There you go. Do not let it impact your life, right? But if you see something suspicious, tell somebody, get away from it. You see somebody that looks suspicious, move away. You hear somebody yell that shit, you run." She's like, "I know." So, I mean, it's sad, right? That was probably at 9 o'clock last night. But, you know, I know Mike's had the same conversation with his daughter, you know, and it's sad that we have to talk about that stuff. But the fact is that, you know, if you don't have that conversation, and these poor people, Mike, I remember a year ago, somebody, there was videotape, and you see people, I don't know if it was in a train station or what, I know you and I talked about it, but you see them just squatting down, and then the guy's running by and shooting at, oh, it was in the airport. It was that guy who flew from Canada to Miami, and he started shooting in the airport, and people just froze and got on the ground. And he ran by and he shot him. Here's another email for you. Listening to Mike, I have limited experience with those kind of magazines, but I have a friend who had one. Are they legal to own in the United States? And can you manufacture them here? It would surprise me if you could either own or manufacture those in this country. I'm curious about Mike's thoughts. Mike, you and I were talking. You and I were talking before we came on. Give people your thoughts. You're a gun owner and you're a gun advocate. Give people your thoughts on these kind of weapons, these kind of magazines, and then address where do they come from.
The magazines, you know, there are companies here in the United States that make high capacity, real high capacity, beyond 30 rounds. Anything beyond 30 rounds, you know, when you're looking at that kind of stuff, to me, starts getting into the realm of idiocy and ridiculousness. There's no reason. There's nothing that you can defend to me that would require an individual person to buy anything over a 30 round magazine. Other than, they're fun. You know, it's fun to shoot a belt-fed machine gun. You know, a belt-fed machine gun's got only one purpose, and that's, you know, to kill multiple people in a military aspect. But when you start dealing with these 100-round magazines, to me, that you start going in the realm of stupidity. And there are some companies here in the United States that manufacture. Most of them come from overseas. The ones that I was talking to today come from South Korea, and there's some from Taiwan, and there's some from, you know, other places. You know, that kind of thing. Airsoft would be, if you could get 100 rounds in paintball and airsoft, you're money. That's what you need. But we're not talking about that. But, they are legal in some states, not all states. Most states have a cap on, they limit the amount of rounds a magazine has. For instance, at California, I think it's 10 rounds. You can't have a magazine more than 10 rounds. It may be 5 now. I don't know. But it was 10 when I was there. So you'd have a plug on a 30-round magazine that would basically prevent you from putting, 30 rounds in magazines. But the problem is, you buy a 30-round magazine that has a plug in it that only has 10 rounds, then you can go to any kind of gun show and buy the gut to make it a 30-round magazine.
Right. Now, look, anybody... If somebody, we were talking earlier, but if somebody is determined to do this, whether through the black market, and again, the problem in much of this, including bomb-making stuff, is now the ease of availability because of the Internet. You know, before, you know, that stuff was resident in military manuals and things like that. It wasn't at everybody's disposal. You know, the magazine that I looked up when you were talking is one from that's made in South Korea.
Yeah.
You know, and for $126.49, and it's on sale right now with free shipping, it was initially $166.49. You know, you can buy one or you can buy as many as you want. But it's a AR-15 100-round dual drum magazine with a pouch. Okay? For total, with pouch, and then it says something 400. So I don't know. Again, the people I know that both are shooters and are hunters, this kind of stuff is not what they purchased. And even though they're strong advocates of the Second Amendment, They look at this stuff and say, this stuff's crazy people stuff.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
Another email. Mac, I'm curious about the gunner's thoughts on around Vegas, you can go shoot machine guns, if I'm not mistaken. It's part of the amusement park thing that Vegas has going. I know there's multiple indoor ranges in the city. So if you're a gun shooter and you want to go there and do some shooting while you're gambling and having a good time, that's readily available to you. Has Mike ever been to any of those ranges, machine gun type, in the vicinity of Vegas? Have you ever been to any, Mike? Mm-mm.
No, I know what he's talking about. Or she, I don't know. But, I'm all for it. It's a controlled environment. You can't check it out like a library card and go take it somewhere else. You shoot it under supervision. You shoot it under control. And then when you're done, you're done. You give it back to the owner of that establishment. And I know where these places are at. I've shot, in the military, I've shot high capacity, weapons with a lot of rounds with them. So there's no really need for me to do it in the civilian world.
It's interesting. You do watch video and you see most of people getting on the ground, and you see some people sprinting, and you just wonder if those are veterans, are those veterans in the crowd that went, holy shit, let's get out of here. Another email. Mac, you were talking about telling your daughter to run. I missed the first part of the program. What do you talk to people about when the subject of why them that night, how do you explain that kind of stuff? Mike, how do you explain that kind of stuff? Why them?
Why them?
Yeah, why them? Why them?
We don't know yet.
Why them not you? Why them not me? Is it God's plan? Is it the randomness?
Blah, yeah, it's blah, random. Blah. I mean, the bullet that you get to be concerned about is not the one with your name on it. It's the one that's addressed to whom it may concern. Shooting is random. Precision shots are very, very seldom taken in the capacity. Even in combat, most of the time, it's mass firepower that's being massed towards, a group of individuals. No one knows who shot somebody. It's, like I said, precision shots are very, very far and few between. It's most like what we call suppression. You're just shooting in direction of your enemy. And in this case, you're just shooting into the crowd. I mean, you got 30,000 people. You got plenty of targets.
Yeah.
You look how close that proximity they are. They're right next to each other.
Yeah, so when you... So when you try to explain why, I think the blunt answer that I give, there is no why.
Yeah.
There is no why.
Insanity has no purpose. It has no meaning. That's why it's called insane.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. You're trying to rationalize irrational thought. You can't do it. You can't, it'll drive yourself crazy. Why did someone do that? I don't know. He's irrational. I'm not an irrational person. I can't get on the same level with that individual.
Right. And in terms of why someone lost their life and why did it have to be that person, there's no reason. And you'll drive yourself crazy if you look for cause and effect between the two. Did they do something that, God was on? No, that's not how that happened. It's not how that happened. It is, there's a randomness to life and to being a human being, and sometimes it goes against you. It goes against people in car accidents. I was reading a story about a guy driving with a suspended license that had been suspended 9 times in Minnesota, and he's speeding and the roads are slick, and he winds up hitting a woman and her daughter. Daughter was 3 at the time. The woman now will be completely incapacitated for the rest of her life. She'll have to be fed. She'll have to be changed. She's in a wheelchair and heavily medicated for the rest of her life. Her daughter just gone through like her 50th surgery, and nothing happened to him. He was driving a truck, and nothing happened to him. And so you look at, like, why her? She lost, you know, she lost everything that she had in her life, and now she lives in this vegetative state. Why her? And there is no answer to it. You know, a lot of people try to solve it with religion, but I think those of us who've been around death enough and have seen it enough know that, you know, that's if you want to go down that road, you can try to find an answer, but the answer is sometimes there's a randomness in this world that is just exactly that. It's random, and there is no reason. And so it's hard. It's hard because everything we learn as young people and as religious people, you know, you do good things, hopefully good things happen, you know, that God has a plan for you, and then things people say, you know, and people look for purpose in it. And when stuff like this happens, I tend to be very blunt. And I think that helps. There's no reason in it. God didn't do this. You know, that guy did this. And he snapped, and then they were at the concert, and that's why. Other than that, there's no reason. And
right.
And so, but it's hard because people constantly look for purpose, reason in this. And as Mike said, in this insanity. The another email, Mike. In terms of loading those weapons, do you think, given the time between the different shot groupings, do you think he was reloading? Do you think he had multiple weapons loaded in the same fashion? Does the time between shots tell us anything, Mike?
Not right now. I mean, in the time that he had, where you see you hear the rounds fire and then there's that lull, that's definitely, you know, either he's changing weapons preloaded and then getting back into his firing position, or he's changing magazines, you know. You know, or like I said, I'm not ruling out yet that, you know, changing a belt of a belt fed machine gun, you know, that time is still the same amount of time.
There's a few things about this guy. This additional information from his brother. Brother lives in Florida. He said something happened to make him snap. There was absolutely no indication that he could do something like this, and he had no political or religious affiliation. He was just a guy. Something happened. He snapped or something. We know absolutely nothing. This is just, well, we are dumbfounded. And then earlier, in an interview with CBS, he said he has no military background. He believed his brother had a couple of handguns, maybe a rifle, but he didn't own any automatic weapons when he moved from Melbourne to Mesquite. So he's, I guess, went from Melbourne, Florida, to Mesquite. And so Eric, who acknowledged that he and his brother weren't close, painted his brother as just a typical Las Vegas guy. He lived in Mesquite, drove down to Vegas to gamble. He liked burritos, blah, 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 blah. Well, seriously, there's other stuff going on with his brother. But unbelievable morning. Another email. I have two 50-round drums that work in my Glock! I bought them before they became illegal. Those things work any better, Mike? You know, I know you're a Glock fan, but
yeah, I mean, they work. And again, I have a couple 32-round magazines for my Glock, but I only use them like in shooting competitions,
right?
Where you needed, you know, more rounds to shoot, you know, in a competition. But practically, in any other sense, to me, they're just kind of, I don't know, they're kind of unneeded, they're unnecessary.
Here's a question about could it have been prevented? And we talked about this, so, Mac, I heard the sheriff say this couldn't have been prevented. I'm curious about Mike's thoughts. Do you think it could have been prevented, Gunner?
Absolutely not.
Why?
How do you prevent something? Well, because it's one of those impossible tasks. How do you prevent something like this?
You'd have to be monitoring purchases of those kind of drums that were brought into the United States. I don't know how you would do that.
That's impossible.
Yeah, and you would talk.
We can't even monitor things that we're supposed to be monitoring that come into the state.
Right. You know, the other thing Mike and I were talking about is that there's a picture on the Drudge Report that's awful. It's 1, 2, 3 bodies on the ground. Two of them look like women, right, dressed to go to a concert. And, you know, it's horrible stuff. But, you know, you hang out. Let's just suppose that he got interested in shooting and crew-served weapons, right? If you decide that if you go hang out at those places, you're going to meet people, right? And not all of them are savory people and upstanding people. You're going to meet people, and you're going to learn how they repair stuff. You're going to learn how you can modify a sear. You're going to learn all the little things that get done, you know, to if you're a weapons guy. And it doesn't, as Mike was talking,
you can YouTube it, too.
Yeah. And so you're now all of a sudden you get involved in that culture. And if they like you and say, yeah, come on out, you know, we're going to shoot, you can hang out, and, you know, because he shows up and he pays money and whatnot. And, you know, you fall into it. Now, those guys are all, you know, they're business people, and it's a hobby for them. And so, you
right.
know, you could see, you don't have to be, you can get this kind of knowledge. You know, you just have to go. I mean, hell, we could, if I walked in with somebody and said, yeah, this is my buddy, this is Gunner, this is Rob, this is Rudy, this is Luke, and we start talking guns, before they left and they were asking, hey, how would you convert it if I wanted to? You know, and if we trusted that person, you can give them, just sitting around with nothing else there, they would have a decent idea. You would have a decent idea about, you know, how to do it. So another email. This will certainly be used to fan the flames relative to gun control again. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think will come out of it? Well, Mike said a couple things. High capacity magazines. I mean, most states would be, do you think you'll see some kind of federal legislation that would outlaw them federally?
I don't know. I think, it would start being a step, you know. But, again, how do you prevent someone from, you know, attaining it illegally? You know, the good question is, you know, we've had a war on drugs for how long?
Oh, forever.
And have we prevented drug use? It's illegal.
Right.
You go to jail, you can't buy it legally, but how do they do it anyway? Well, because they do it illegally. There's a whole underground for it. You know, it's just, how do you stop insanity? This is crazy. But yeah, all your gun control freaks are going to jump on this one now and talk about, see, if ARs or whatever this comes out were illegal to own, you wouldn't have these crimes.
And a friend of mine just sent me a text. There's a guy who played baseball at the University of North Dakota who was shot last night. And a friend of mine, it's a buddy of a friend of mine, and he said he just got out of surgery. And, you know, it's interesting. He said, I get made fun of by my kids for telling them that life is short. I often get shit for telling my kids that they are loved or for kissing my sons. Shit, they get chirped for getting kisses from their papa. And, but it's true. Life is short, and you don't know. And again, but you know, this is crazy as crazy can be. And again, Mike's point, let me just double down. If you're crazy and you want to do this in a free country, you'll find a way. And if you have an airplane and you can fly between the United States and he used to evidently hunt in Alaska, which means if he wants to fly down to Mexico and get anything he wants, he can go ahead and do that. Right? There's no customs. When you fly your private plane back into wherever you fly it into, no customs that meet you at your airplane and say, "What do you got there, Gunner? What'd you pick up?"
No, sometimes there is.
Most of the time?
If you have a registered flight plan that goes to a different state, when you land airport.
We're not talking about that guy. We're talking about somebody who wants to go down to Mexico, has arranged to buy a machine gun, land, and then come back. Nobody's tracking you.
To a certain degree, they are, though, Matt.
Who's?
You really got to go out of your way. Once they see a deviation of a flight plan, if you don't have a registered flight plan, yeah, you got people meeting you at your airport when you land. Absolutely.
So if I come back from Mexico and my registered flight plan doesn't and says from Mexico City to some small airport outside of Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, they'll come and get you. They'll be there. Someone will be there.
Somebody from customs is going to be there waiting for me?
Some law enforcement, yeah. Unregistered flight plans across the borders? Yeah.
What do you mean? What happens if I register it? Are they still going to be there?
Yeah, you'll still be there. In most capacities, yeah. Not all the time, no. You can luck out, but in most of the time, yeah. Because once your plane goes up and that transponder hits and air traffic control sees, you know, you crossing the border and, you know, yeah, there's, they'll try and get, they'll try and get their someone there to meet you on their tarmac.
Okay, what happens if I shut my transponder off?
You got to fly pretty low. I mean, surface and air radar will pick you up.
But if your
transponder's off, yeah, you got a really big problem now.
Right. Well, exactly. But and my problem is this. What you're saying is, if people want to get around the law.
You can get around the law.
You can get around the law, right? In a free country. Your thoughts on this, Mike? One thing will change. There will be no more outdoor concerts anymore. There will be, but they won't be in proximity to high rises in Vegas. That's my prediction. I don't know where this was, this parking lot, you know, adjacent to the...
It was right across the street. Yeah, across the street from Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, so what'll happen is it'll be done like at the football stadium at the at UNLV in that parking lot, and there won't be any high rises in proximity.
Controlled entry, you know, places, people that, you know, yeah, stadiums would be great because there's no open fields of view from the outside.
Right.
Everybody coming in gets scanned. Everybody goes through metal detectors.
Here's another one. It's, you know, the people in Vegas, I mean, they don't, anything that screws around with the business of people coming and vacationing, I mean, they take very, very seriously. And so, again, here's the other thing that's scary as hell. Is all the ISIS idiots around the world? Do you think they didn't just take note?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did. They did. Let me read you this one. An armed society is a polite society. But you would even say, Mike, that because you believe in that too, but there are even limits to that.
Yeah.
In the email, it says this. In the 50s and 60s, in the early 60s, school-aged children were taught to shoot rifles. Instead of social justice, the need for teaching people how to protect themselves rather than relying on the government, local and federal is the key to regaining our personal integrity. Teach how to think, rather than what to think
is
the best art. If people,
this is a classic example of what I teach the ladies here in Granbury.
You're talking about that?
Yeah.
If people knew how to handle a weapon, including not to freeze but to move when violence would be lessened, women who carry a gun will be able to effectively handle themselves if, God forbid, they are attacked, etc. There is something to the adage that an armed society is a polite society. People complain and become angry when they feel helpless. Society today, with all its social justice, makes people helpless. Michael, keep on teaching, resolving, being direct. Speak fact and truth. Thank you again and again. All the best, Claire. The
time and distance, Mac, and you know that's what I teach women here in Granbury. Create time and distance. Time and distance will save your life. You know, you don't ever want to get close to danger. You know, try and pick out what danger looks like. And in this case, it's difficult, but it goes into the fight or flight or freeze. You know, in this case, you can't really fight, and you don't definitely want to freeze. You know. But you got to get out of there. Got to get out of that kill zone.
Yeah, you know, and that, again, that's why you got to have a conversation with somebody about it, right? Talk to them or listen to us. We'll tell you. Hey, look, if you go to the ground, right, you increase the probability that you're going to get hit. As Mike said, might you get hit while you run? You might. But let me tell you, to take that chance for 60 seconds as you run to get behind a piece of masonry wall or another building, it's not even close, the choice.
It goes to the saying of, if you run, you may get hit. If you freeze, you will get hit.
Here's another interesting email. Mac, how did no one see him bring those guns into the hotel? So, Mike, let me ask you. Can you bring guns into hotels? I mean, is it okay to do that? You know, if they're cased up and locked and all that.
Yeah, they're cased. Well, he could have them in duffel bags. You know, if you break down an AR, it'll fit into a backpack.
Right.
You know, and then in your suitcase you have, you know, magazines. Yeah, if this guy walked into the hotel with, you know, all the stuff in plain view, then phew.
Right.
But my gut tells me that, he had it in bags and just went to the hotel and got the little carry-on case thing and put it all in there and went to his room.
The what's the approximate length of the barrel of a saw or an AR-15?
Well, barrel 20 inches, you know, is the standard, anywhere from 16 to 20 inches.
All right, so into your basic hiking backpack, okay, even smaller.
24 inches, 25 inches, you know, maximum. When you break it down, that's all you have to worry about. It'll fit in a backpack.
Right, so you can see that the weapons that he had, again, and unless we're incredibly wrong, which I don't think we are, because, you know, just when I put that audio on, I mean, clear as day, you know, that's the sound that you hear when we go to the range and shoot saws. You know, to me it sounds like a saw, Mike, because, you know, the M16 on auto sounds similar, but to me that sounded like a saw.
Yeah, it sounded like a saw at first to me, but the thing that would kind of make me not think it was a saw is because if you have linked ammunition for a saw, it comes in 200-round magazine drums.
Right. You got it. Can you use that 100? You could use that 100-round drum in a saw, yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Into the magazine well. The Here's another question. In terms of shooting, obviously he would have had to either use something to break the window and to set up a firing position. Once he does, he's got a pretty stable platform, and my experience in those hotels is the windowsill is a fairly wide thing, something that you could actually sit on in most of the rooms I've seen. Once he broke the window, he looks like he has a pretty good firing position, and if you look at the shots from this morning, it looked like he moved between two firing positions. I'm not sure if the police blew out another window when they entered, but it looks like he has two similar holes in windows a few windows apart. Have you looked at that, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, you can have bipods mounted onto the front of the gun, pull a table up to the glass, shatter the glass. You know, the first burst will shatter the glass.
Right.
And then just sit there on a table, you know, with standing up behind a table with the bipods resting on a table, have a pretty, you know, secure firing position. So.
Wow. Well, so in terms of smuggling the weapons in, would not have been an issue. Everything in bags and suitcases, you could do that without looking too suspicious. Another email. Listening to you guys talk today, do you think at some point you'll see metal detectors at hotels? Mike?
Oof. Yeah. I mean.
X-ray your bags to go to hotels? Bag. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, you could.
Hey, and let me just tell you, you might in Vegas because they won't fuck around. If you want to see Las Vegas react, have something put their livelihood, people coming there at risk.
Oh, yeah. And they have the expendable cash to make these things happen, you know, these big hotels.
Right. And so.
So when you check into a hotel, you put your bags in an area, they get scanned, and then they get sent to your room. You know, later on. Yeah, that wouldn't be that too hard to implement.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, because that whole city is an option. You don't got to go there. You go there because you want to go, and you go there because it's a good time. And if they think any of that is at risk, they will certainly tighten whoever or whatever up in an effort to maintain what makes that city go. There's another email. Guys, I started listening about a year ago, and it's been interesting. I've come to know both of you, although you wouldn't know me from shit. I know when each one of you is irritated. I've learned about your families, but it stays like this that I really enjoy listening to the program. Both your experiences, not only with weapons and deployments and things like that, but also you guys are both devoted parents. It comes through as we listen, and the conversations you've had with your kids, most parents would not have with their kids. Just want to say I specifically got to work early today to listen to you guys talk about this. Appreciate you guys, your frankness, and coming here helps me understand things a little bit more. I was one of those people, to be honest with you, that looks for purpose in all of this. And I will say it's a little bit more comforting to know that there is no purpose. I think I can be at peace with that because looking for one had me restless early this morning.
Yeah. You can't spend your life trying to find reasons why things happen. You got to just accept that the fact that there are rational people in this world, and if it drives you crazy, that's a good thing because that tells you you're rational. You're not a crazy person. You don't get it. You know, it just doesn't make sense to you. But what will drive you insane is you trying to put this together and trying to find out why. There is no why. There's just an is.
Right.
It happens because it is.
You know, Mike,
the way we are.
You'll find this interesting, or I think amusing. I was yesterday. I got up early, and I just said, my number two son is in Okinawa right now. So I just said, hey, what's up? He said nothing. He said, what are you doing? I said nothing. I said, what about you? He said, I'm bored, so I'm watching Band of Brothers. I said, which episode? He said The Crossroads. Now, The Crossroads is that one. You've seen the series, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's where Dick Winters runs, like, what, about 100 yards, comes over a road, and the road's got a German machine gun, heavy machine gun on it, and they're supposed to, you know, take the gun out and control the intersection. Winters is the captain by then. He takes off running all alone. The rest of the company stays in a ditch and is supposed to follow him by about 40 meters. He runs up this little embankment, and he stands up, and there's this German kid, I think, just standing up, and he's either brushing his teeth or buttoning his coat. And the kid's got to be 18 or 19, and he looks at Winters, and it looks like any kid that looks on your block, and Winters shoots him and kills him. And so Patrick was, I said, where are you watching it? He said, Winters just ran across the field. And I said, you know, if that's you or me, we get like 15 meters out of that trench and get smoked, right? And he says, yeah. I said, and then this is just ironic. I said, look, no smart of it, man. Out of 100 guys that do that, probably 10 don't get touched, right? Everybody else, there was a sentry that was watching that field as part of their local security who had his head by a tree that you didn't see, saw you running, and smoked your ass. And that's the randomness that we're talking about. And luck's no small part of, you know, the band of brothers, Dick Winters, who's just an awesome guy. But there's a lot of other awesome guys who got smoked who were trying to do the same thing by somebody they didn't see. And there's that guy Spears who talks about, that gives us, this guy Blythe panics and he goes blind in one episode, which I guess is a phenomenon. And he says, Blythe, until you accept the fact that you're already dead, you won't be able to function. And you hear that and you're like, whoa, speaking the truth, man. And people describe it in different ways. Spears said, accept you're dead. Other people say, you know, into your hands I command my spirit. Okay, whether I go home or not, I don't control, but I'm going to do my job. I'm going to lead. I'm going to do good things here. And if I die, I die, but I don't control it. And there's a piece that goes with that, which I think Spears is talking about, because it's accepting the randomness that is and knowing that you don't deserve it any more than Winters deserve to live. It's just it wasn't in the cards for you that day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's been in the wheel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, what are you most interested to learn about this, Mike? The why?
Well, their why is going to be, you know, it's going to be skewed because this guy's dead. Mm-hmm. So they're going to try and put this thing together and try to find out what drove him to do this, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out and if they come up with a why. They got to have a why. American people want a why. So that's what the news agencies are trying to dig right now. Why? Because if you can find the why, then in your mind, do you think you prevent this in the future? You know, when you don't have a why, it scares a lot of people. So I think their biggest push is going to be trying to find this why, and then they'll spin it up from there, and that'll be kind of interesting.
You know, when this happens, though, the way we find information about people most of the time is from Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, social media stuff, and this guy evidently has none of it. So we'll see if we find those out. Hey, I want to thank you for doing the analysis you did and sharing it with us. But just so if you joined us late, Mike, just how many rounds over the course of how many seconds were being shot?
It was close to 100 rounds in over 10 seconds, and just in by 10.2 seconds. Which fits the category of 650 rounds is the cyclic rate of those guns, and they'll fire, you know, 11 rounds a second. You know, so yeah, he's shooting.
That's amazing. 11 rounds a second. You never use a weapon like that, by the way, unless you're being overrun. But you know, it's when you hear it. You know, if that was on a range, it would get your attention. Like, who is that, right? 3 to 5 round bursts make the ammunition last longer. And so just even hearing the audio, it just catches your attention because it's so violent and it's so long. And
right. Anyway.
All right, man. Hey, thank you very much for hopping on.
All right. I'll talk to you later, brother.
All right, man. See ya. Michael Musselman, awesome guy. And an awesome asset to have on the program. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and finish things up on a sad Monday. But, you know what? Again, I would tell you, Be honest with your kids. Sit down and talk to them about it. Be honest with your grandkids. Although that might be stepping in front of their parents. You might not want to do that, but when they're alone with me, they're going to hear about it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
That'll do it on a Monday. Again, if you're just joining us or you haven't been around, the death toll currently sits at 58. With 515 people wounded. And Mike Musselman joined us. For those of us that have been around machine guns and that is the noise of a AR-15, M-16. Number of different ways that it could have been done. I mean, it really sounds like what we would call an M249 squad automatic weapon, which is a 5.56 machine gun capable of being fed either through belt out of a drum, belt ammunition out of a drum, or from a magazine. And I think that you can, if you listen to, you know, 100-round magazines are available on the Internet. So, anyway, our thoughts and prayers as the rest of the nations go out to all the people that have been killed, their families who will have to bury them and have to live with this. And just for them, there's no getting over it. And that's okay. It's okay to hurt. It's okay if you cry a lot. Normal is going to be different. And there's no good reason for it, which will be hard to accept. So, your friends here at All Marine Radio, while we don't feel your pain today, we felt that pain before. And we're certainly rooting for you. So, to all the rest of us, keep them in your thoughts and prayers today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. On a Monday, this program repeats itself momentarily. I want to thank Alex Hollings for joining us from SoftRep. He is stunned and working on the same kind of stuff that everybody else is for his report, and you can find his work at SoftRep.com. Have a great day. Again, you'll hear this program repeat itself momentarily, so don't touch that dial.